Welcome back. It's the Tom Herman Radio Program, where we run rings around the right wing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. 6 minutes past the hour. Is it possible to reboot capitalism? Reboot capitalism? Peter Barnes thinks so. He's the co-founder of Working Assets. He has a new book out called Capitalism 3.0. It's sort of like Windows 3.1 and Windows. I remember Windows 1.0. A guide to reclaiming the commons. Peter, welcome here to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, nice to be here, Tom.
Great to have you here with us. You talk about, first of all, this is 3.0. Give me a real quick snapshot of Capitalism 1.0 and 2.0.
Well, you could look at it this way. Capitalism 1, the original version, was what you, I think, call robber baron capitalism, where there are no rules, no taxes, the big corporations just do whatever the hell they want. Right. Capitalism 2.0 came in the New Deal, where we have kind of regulated capitalism. We have governments setting some limits and collecting a little bit in taxes from the corporations. What I'm saying is we need...
And we're actually now kind of sliding back into capitalism 1.0.
We are indeed. And that's the fundamental problem here is in America. We have two things going on simultaneously. We have capitalism and we have democracy. And unfortunately, when you put the two of those things together, what happens is that the corporations who dominate capitalism inevitably, I would argue, dominate democracy.
Well, and not only that, I get these guys on this radio program. Most of the people that I have on are conservatives that I'm debating rather than somebody like yourself who I largely agree with. And they are always trying to conflate the two. They're trying to say that economic freedom is democracy. And their definition of economic freedom is a corporation being able to do whatever it damn well pleases. And, so there's some mercury in your air. Hey, get used to it.
Yeah.
Now, with Capitalism 3.0, what you're talking about is reclaiming the commons, is incorporating the idea of the commons into the economic system, not just the political system.
Exactly. We don't really notice the commons, but there's a lot of stuff out there that really belongs to everybody. The air, the water, the ecosystems, our culture, internet.
Yeah, you defined three of them. The nature, air, water, DNA, photosynthesis, seeds, topsoil, et cetera, community, streets, playgrounds, calendar, holidays, universities, culture, language, philosophy, religion, physics, chemistry, on and on.
On and on and on.
Lots of stuff.
There's lots of stuff out there. It's more valuable than all the private assets we have. The problem is that this commons is largely invisible and it's unprotected. And we have these corporations running loose that do two things. One is they enclose, they privatize, they're constantly taking good stuff from the commons. And two, they externalize, they're constantly dumping their bad stuff, pollution and so forth, into the commons, and government isn't strong enough to stop them. So what I'm saying is, if and when we have a political opening like the New Deal, what we should do with that political opening is organize the commons, make it really commonly owned, and give it trustees who are not part of government, who are managing property, managing common property on our behalf and on behalf of our children and future generations.
Don't we already have that right now with, for example, the National Park Service dealing with the commons of our parks?
Well, that's a small piece of it. The problem with even the National Park Service is when you have a corporate-dominated government like we have now in there, they start giving it away and allowing mining and oil
exploration.
Well, in
fact, they're doing that.
Yeah, right.
And so, privatizing the concession stands and, yeah.
All the rest, yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, our common wealth, if we organized it properly, could actually pay dividends to every American citizen, one person, one share, the way they do in Alaska, where they've done a very good job of organizing their very good fortune to have oil under the land there. Mm-hmm. But we could do that nationwide for every American. You know, the rich people, what is it that separates rich people from the rest of us?
A lot of money.
A lot of money, yeah. But where does that money come from? Is the thing that the rich people are smarter or they work harder? No. What separates rich people is that they have property income. They get money without having to work for it just because they own property. Well, that's the way the capitalist system works.
And under the latest Bush tax cut, if you make your living sitting on your butt around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive, you pay a maximum 15% income tax.
Whereas absolutely.
If you make your living, you know, with the work of your hands or your mind, you pay up to 30-some-odd percent income
tax. Right, and that's screwed, as you have well pointed out. But what I'm saying is everybody should get some property income, not just the rich people. And where could that property income come from? it could come from our common wealth.
But isn't that a prescription for depleting the Commonwealth? I mean, you talk in the book about the fact that we have an obligation to future generations, that we're really holding the commons in trust.
Right.
Why should we be extracting wealth from the commons? Why shouldn't we be
because
maintaining the commons in a
protecting
static...
Protecting the commons, which I completely agree is our first priority, protecting it actually will throw off income. That's the beauty of this thing. In other words, for example... if we protected the atmosphere by charging polluters for their pollution and limiting pollution, that would throw off income, which could go out in dividends to every American.
Now, we used to do this with the commons of the airwaves. We used to say the airwaves are owned by all of us collectively, and if you want to broadcast into those airwaves, you have to pay a license fee, and that generated money that government used basically to regulate the commons of the airwaves, but it generated money, and if they had charged a larger fee, it could have even presumably been paid to Americans. And then Reagan came along, and between Reagan and Clinton, the two of them basically privatized the airwaves. How do you grab hold of something like the atmosphere? How do you say, okay, the atmosphere is now ours collectively? At least with the airwaves, you can notice when somebody's broadcasting on the wrong frequency.
Right. Well, what I would do is set up a Sky Trust, appoint trustees who have a fiduciary responsibility to future generations. In other words, their job is to protect the asset. And the way they protect it is by limiting pollution, and once you have the limits in, and the limits have to be low enough to really protect future generations, mm-hmm. Then you can auction the right to pollute. And the way it would actually work is the lower you set the limit, the higher your revenue would be.
Sure.
So less pollution equals more revenue. That's how you protect the commons, and you get money, which instead of going to government, what I would say is use that money, pay it out like Alaska does, one person, one share, so every American gets some property income to supplement their labor income. And if you look at our globalized corporate economy today, the real problem for Americans, the real reason that the middle class is being screwed, is that what these corporations do is they export all the good jobs overseas, and to the extent that there are any new jobs being created, they're Walmart jobs. So it's impossible, really, to have a middle class in America nowadays, in the global economy, without some kind of income for everybody that isn't based on jobs. We have to have non-labor income for everybody, and we can get that not by taxing Peter to pay Paul, but by managing and protecting our commons and charging polluters for despoiling the commons.
Why not use part of that revenue instead to, for example, pay for free education up to the PhD level, a free health care system?
I'd be for that. There's a lot of...
Then aren't we to... That's called government.
Well, it's government, but it's also a little different. Look at Texas, for example. Texas is another state that has a permanent fund, and what they do is they earmark the revenue from their oil to go to K-12 public schools in Texas and the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. That's another way to go. That's fine. You know, Alaska did it a little differently. They gave it back in dividends to Alaska citizens. Maybe you could split the
difference. You think politically, though, it would fly more easily. It would be easier to sell if it was, hey, you're going to get some money out of this.
I think so. I think part of the problem with the commons
is... There'd be more pressure to make it...
There'd be more pressure. There'd be more sense of real ownership. In other words, if we got a check every year from our commonwealth or a trust managing our commonwealth, we would not let it... We would understand that this is ours and that we have a relationship to it. Right now, we don't see it. It's all invisible, and so the corporations can get away with their thievery, basically.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting concept. We're talking with Peter Barnes. He's the co-founder of Working Assets and the author of Capitalism 3.0, A Guide to Reclaiming the Commons. Peter, we have a little less than a minute. Anybody taking an interest in this? Any of the political parties?
Well, you know, I think we've got a way to go. But I'll say one thing. Eliot Spitzer, who's going to be the next governor of New York,
yep,
has taken an interest in this.
Interesting.
And there are states, New York, California, among them, that are dealing with climate change. And they're starting to realize that we can cap carbon emissions and auction the permits to emit and get some money in there, which belongs to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative is to let the polluters take over the sky for free, and unfortunately, that's also a possible outcome.
Well, that's what they've got right now, and it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. Peter Barnes, co-founder of Working Assets. It's Capitalism 3.0, a guide to reclaiming the commons, the new book, and workingassets.org, the website.
Yeah, or people could go to onthecommons.org, and you can actually download a copy of this book for free.
Great. 16 minutes past the hour.